You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tales from the Break Room is a scary story podcast made up of viewer-submitted stories. If you want your scariest work experiences featured on Tales from the Break Room, send your story to us at darkstories.org if you don't want to be paid for it. Otherwise, send your story to us at eeriecast.com/submit, only if you have a working PayPal account.
Hi, welcome to Dead and Roasted. What can I get you?
Hey there. Welcome back to the Break Room. I've been obsessed with our new fish-flavored croissants lately, but I swear I found a scale on my nose the other day. So I think maybe avoid that menu item unless you want to end up a mermaid. Ah yes, of course, I do have some new scary and allegedly true work-related stories for you. These stories feature some very scary folks invading people's workplaces, as well as a very haunted shift where the dead simply don't stay dead. Enjoy these tales from the Break Room. Stop Sign Encounter. From Glory B. I was a young mother living in rural Pennsylvania. My husband had just broken his leg in a terrible work accident and was on disability. We had just started building a log cabin home on some acreage at the base of a ridgeline. Our property was pretty far from the main road. You had to turn off the two-lane road and onto a country lane, then into our driveway, which went through some trees and back into the deep woods where our home site was. The house needed finished, but we were living there doing everything we could to make ends meet. I had to get a job, and the only thing available at the time was a factory overnight shift, which started at 11 p.m. One Friday night, I eased out of our driveway onto the country lane, making a left onto the two-lane road that led back to town. Winding around bends and curves until I got near the first intersection, it was a three-way stop sign, where another country road came down off the ridge. I've stopped here hundreds of times, always pausing and looking up that hill. But tonight, I saw taillights glowing in the darkness, blocking my way to the stop sign. The car in front seemed to be stopped a long time, but there were no hazard lights or signals to go around, so I stopped behind them, quizzically wondering what was wrong and why they were stopped. I watched, waiting to see if they would proceed through the intersection. They didn't, and soon the driver door opened, and a large man got out. This man was a bit rough-looking, but not unlike the other hard-working country people I often saw around town. He began walking towards my door, and I rolled my window down a crack, waiting to see what trivial thing was keeping me from getting to my shift on time. He looked down at me through my dark window. It seemed like he was trying to assess me. He also glanced into the back of my car as if to see if I was alone. I still wasn't too frightened. My driver door was locked, and I'd only rolled my window down a few inches. As the man began to describe some kind of car trouble, I automatically began to tell him I wasn't able to help in any way, not knowing anything about cars myself. "I just need a jump," he said. This immediately rang an alarm bell in my head. His lights were on. I had seen the taillights from far off as I approached the intersection. He didn't have his flashers on to indicate any car trouble either. And if his car truly was dead and needed a jump, his lights would be off or faint or dying. Instead, they were still bright in front of me. Next, the man asked again for jumper cables, asking me to get out and look in my trunk for them. "No," I insisted. "I can't help, I'm sorry. I'm late for work as it is." The man became more assertive insisting that I help them, but not in a pleading, begging way of a person truly stranded. This was a dominant, commanding voice that scared and irritated me at the same time. "I'm not getting out of my car," I asserted, raising my voice with a hint of fear and panic creeping in. At that moment, I saw a shadow move near my passenger door. I looked over just in time to see another man trying to open my door. That was it. I reacted the only way I could. I slammed the car into drive and pushed my foot onto the accelerator, jerking the wheel as I swerved around the parked car, driving blindly through the quiet intersection. My adrenaline was pumping as I looked into the rearview mirror to see what had happened to those men. I could still see their headlights fading in the distance as I roared my old car as hard as I could up the winding two-lane road into town. My mind was going a mile a minute, and so was my car. I knew I had to get off this road in case they followed me. Once I was around a few bends and couldn't see their headlights anymore, I quickly turned onto another country lane that I knew wound around a golf course. It was a back way into town. I finally started to calm down once I began to see the streetlights and businesses appear around me. Then the reality of the situation hit me. I was terrified. I didn't know what their intent was. To steal from me? To take my car? To hurt or assault me? I have no idea. I found myself pulling into my job's parking lot, and once I parked my car and shut the engine off, I was racked with sobs and fear again as I broke down, holding my hands over my face, letting the tears flow freely down my face. A coworker noticed me and got me out of my car. They walked me into the building where I recounted my story to her and the manager on duty. They helped me call the police and report the incident. Then I was able to call my husband and tell him too. They offered to let me go home for the night, but I wouldn't go. I needed the money, and I wasn't enjoying the idea of driving back the same route again so soon. So I stayed. I took a trip to the bathroom to clean up and get my head straight, then I went to work. In the morning, I went home, hugging my husband and son close when I got back. I really counted my lucky stars I had come through this safely. I still drive that way to work over 30 years later, as do both my sons. By now, I've driven through that stop sign thousands of times. Most of the time, I don't think about that incident all those years ago. But I still tell this story so that maybe my boys and their families will be more cautious and safe on their travels. Protection with a Pizza Pan. From Shiny. I have an art degree, and having such comes with great difficulty of finding jobs that relate to it. I moved from my small town to a bigger city that has a theme park. I felt like that was close enough to my love of art and entertainment. I worked as the painter, but I was also learning and working with the creative department. I met a lot of cool people and loved my new coworkers. Despite the lack of management, communication, and some creepy employees from different departments, I enjoyed my time there. The park was really a concert hall, theme park, water park, and zoo all in one. It was so big that there could be 100 people working that day, but depending on where you were, you could be all alone. I was the only painter, and I was used to putting on my headphones and going off to a different part of the park each day and starting my painting. On that day in particular, I was working in the water park, and I was already having a rough day dealing with finances when I got a call from my coworker. "Hey, what's up?" I asked, hoping to hear him say something stupid to help cheer me up and make me laugh. But I was wrong.
"You need to find somewhere to hide."
At those words, my heart dropped. I dropped everything I was doing and ran to the nearest building. When something like that happens, you stop thinking and your instincts kick in. Not all my actions in that moment made sense, but all I knew was that my body just moved. "What's going on?" I asked as I ran.
"Some guy is running from the cops. He's in the park. He's heading to the water park now."
It felt as if my heart had stopped. I was a woman, alone in the water park area. I locked myself in a restaurant nearby with windowed doors. "I'm locking the doors. My hands won't stop shaking."
"It's okay. It's okay. You'll be fine. Just breathe."
All right, it's locked," I answered, finally hearing the lock click Is he armed? I asked.
We don't know.
I fell silent. The unknown is truly a terrifying thing.
Be safe. We'll keep you updated.
He hung up. I was all alone then, with no radio and my phone at 15%. Eventually, my mind caught up and it hit me. A kitchen has knives. I looked around all over, but to my defeat, I found nothing. I'd left my hammer and my paint bucket, too. But I did have my pocket knife, even if it could only do so much. Then I found a pizza pan. You know, the ones that are used to take the pizza in and out of the oven. I sighed, accepting the fact that if something happened, I would have to fight. I sat in the corner of the back room, letting my husband know what was going on and that my phone was on low battery. I sat there in silence for what felt like ages. I slowed my breathing and prepared myself for the worst. After a long time of silence and my mind going through scenarios, I heard a noise at the door. My mind once again stopped as I heard the door open. I was numb as I stood with the sharp edge of the pan ready to slice at anything. I heard a voice, but I didn't process it. I was ready, footsteps getting closer and closer. Finally, a person came into view and I raised my weapon to strike. The police officer looked at me and I just lost it. My built-up anxiety finally overflowed and I let it all out as I was led away from the building. They had dogs out looking for the intruder. I was taken to one of the outside picnic tables, where another officer told me that I need to announce myself and answer them if that happens again, or else they could have sent the dog out after me. I understood where they were coming from, but in that moment of fear, fight took over, and all my other senses shut down. After a few more minutes of waiting, they finally found him. He had been hiding in the building right next to mine. He was armed, too, an escaped convict. Even though the worst thing that could have happened didn't happen, I dealt with temporary PTSD. I wouldn't go back to the water park for another week or two. I also didn't like being in big places, like Walmart. I was constantly paranoid as I marked out exits and potential weapons I could use. I constantly thought about what-ifs. Thankfully, with therapy, I worked through it. I quit that job months later due to a mix of issues. I do miss my coworkers and some of the animals, but it's still always in the back of my mind. What can I use to fight? This episode is sponsored by June's Journey. What is horror to you? Monsters? Murder? Mystery? Well, if human monsters are your thing, June's Journey is the game for you, albeit in a more lighthearted tone. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a thrilling murder mystery set in the roaring 20s. You play as June on the hunt for your sister's murderer. Discover clues through exciting hidden object scenes with beautiful and atmospheric illustrations and music. Victory brings you closer to new plot points and suspenseful answers. When not hunting for clues, you can customize your own luxurious estate island with gardens, buildings, and decor. Or chat and play with or against other players too, in the Detective Club, where you could even put your skills to the test in the Detective League. June's Journey is both relaxing and fun to play. With my busy schedule, I find it's the perfect game to pick up and play whenever I've got a free moment. It doesn't demand too much time, and it's pretty satisfying solving puzzles quickly and unlocking new clues. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You get used to it. From Mike V. I worked as a security guard at one of the local hospitals, and despite what I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty good place to work. Hours are plentiful, pay is good, and the nurses are downright sweet. That being said, it is still a hospital, and as such comes with its own bad things. I confess, and forgive me if I come across as a little morbid, I've been in the presence of more death in the first 6 months on the job than the previous 30 years of my life, but that's not what this is about. This story is about the hospital basement. Now, I had initially been hired to work a specific area of the hospital. I had daytime hours, but when a full-time evening shift opened up, I went for it. Gotta make that extra money. Which meant I had free range to patrol the whole property. One of the areas I had to patrol was the basement, which, contrary to what you might think, is a pretty busy part of the building. X-ray department, custodian, engineering, food prep, those are just some of the many departments that fill this basement, so it's not exactly a spooky, dark place like you might imagine. However, once 8 p.m. hits and the vast majority of employees have gone home, that basement gets very quiet, and that's when the incidents began. It was my first week as patrol officer, and so far had been rather uneventful, which I was fine with as a 5-year veteran of private security in other areas. I was kind of hoping for less action for a while. One night I was making my rounds in the basement when I began to hear footsteps. Normally, this is no big deal, but it was late, so it caught my attention right away. Now, I figured it was maybe a nurse who had to grab something or a visitor who took a hilariously big wrong turn, so I wandered over in that direction. As I approached the corner, I checked the wall mirror. For those of you who don't know, hospitals have ball-shaped mirrors to allow staff to check around corners, thus preventing any gurney fender benders. But I saw nothing. No people, no shadows, no movement of any kind. I rounded the corner to make sure, and it was an empty hallway. Only place they could have turned into were the elevators, and I would have heard the ding from them if someone had entered. It was strange, but I shrugged it off. Probably my brain messing with me. A similar incident happened a few days later. While checking to make sure that engineering didn't leave their equipment in plain sight, again, I suddenly heard voices. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but it was for sure human voices. I went to check, out of curiosity more than anything else. But no matter where I walked, the voices always seemed distant. I didn't see anyone, and I must have walked the entire basement, but the voices always sounded distant. Then suddenly, it went quiet, just like that, as if they'd left the area. How very strange, but again, I chalked it up to nothing unusual. Maybe some custodian had left a radio or podcast on or something. In my mind, it was all so easily explained and no big deal. While that could be explained easily enough, this next one was unnerving, because I can't explain it to this very day. It was another day, another basement patrol, and I was walking down a large stretch of hallway, when, in front of me, I noticed a set of doors close. These are the fire doors that held open magnetically. They're automatically closed upon the fire alarm going off, which incidentally had happened earlier that day. A false alarm, in case you're wondering. Clearly, these two had not been pushed open after the all clear, so I walked over towards them to do the job. Then, one of them opened up. Not swung open aggressively, but just casually opened, like someone was just passing through. This caused me to stop in my tracks in shock. These doors are pretty heavy, so nobody could have just yanked it open and ducked out of sight. This door was pushed to the wall in one smooth motion, not shoved or slightly opened. Unless there was a very specifically located hurricane in that spot, those doors were not hit by a sudden draft. Not one strong enough to open a fire door all the way. Needless to say, I decided to patrol the more populated areas that night. There was also the cold spots. So many cold spots in that basement. This wasn't wind or air conditioning, these were specific moments of cold that randomly disappeared shortly afterwards. These weren't normal, they were everywhere. Not just the same spots every time. Different spots. Spots where it should have been warm, such as by the food prep kitchen or near the CT scan room. It really made no sense. A few weeks of all these things and I was just doing my best to ignore it. The job paid well, and I didn't want to abandon ship just like that. But that nearly changed one evening. Another basement patrol. Woohoo, sadly I can't skip it or say I did when I didn't because the higher-ups, they would have known. So I was back again late at night in the creepy empty basement, telling myself that my car will be paid off a lot faster with this salary. I was approaching the corner from the first incident and checked the wall mirror on instinct. And I froze. A figure stood just around the corner. Not a person, but a human-shaped black mass. It was just standing there around the corner. I was horrified at that point. My mind already on high alert, now it was on red alert. I tried to reason with myself. It's just a smudge on the mirror. No, it couldn't be that. They clean those daily. I was horrified, shaken up. I was wishing I had a fellow guard with me. But what good would that really do, honestly? I was praying to God, Odin, Ra, freaking Santa Claus if I had to, that this thing didn't decide to move towards me. I stood there for what seemed like an eternity when that thing finally walks the opposite direction of me. Defying all sense of reason, I decided to poke my head around the corner to try to get a look at this thing. But by then, it was gone. Disappeared. I looked up at the mirror, and it was clear as well. Just me in this basement. I scrambled up the stairs at a sprint and spent the remainder of the shift around the nurse's station expecting very little sleep that night when I got home. A couple of months later, and short of the aforementioned cold spots, things had calmed down. I was working an earlier shift one day, down in the basement with a coworker doing the rounds, when I heard the sound of voices. Now, admittedly, at that time of day, it could have been anyone, but I was still quite paranoid about this basement. So my mind instantly went to the worst possible scenario. I stopped then to turn to my coworker, asking in a freaked out sounding way if they could hear those voices. To my relief, they said yes. I calmed down a bit, then my coworker replied, "You get used to it." And I instantly stopped and stared at them. "What do you mean?" I asked. "Voices, weird noises and all that crap. Work here long enough and you get used to it. Especially in this area. I assumed you saw or heard something, judging by how you looked like a deer in headlights just now." I told them about my experiences, and they said, "Yeah, most of us all have had similar incidents when patrolling this area. Don't worry about it. You'll learn to shrug it off." I feel I should add quickly that this coworker is older and has been with the company for about 15 years. Which to me explained how they were so casual and nonchalant about it while I was losing my crap. "Why this area?" I asked. "Never anywhere else." "Do you really have to ask?" They laughed. Then it hit me, and I almost kicked myself for not figuring it out. The shadow figure, the footsteps, the voices, the door, even the majority of the cold spots, they all happened within a close proximity of the morgue. I'd been given a tour of the facility when I started, but seeing as I was assigned a specific post when I began, I kinda just forgot about the morgue and its location. "Why wasn't I told at the start?" I asked. "Because you wouldn't have believed us, admit it," they responded. I admit they were right. Had they mentioned it on day one, I would have laughed it off as either messing with the new guy or just silly stories, so I can't blame them. I worked at that hospital for a year before being transferred to a different site. Still a hospital, but this one doesn't have an ER, ICU, or a morgue, so I feel better. The coworkers are great, job still pays well, and I genuinely like being here. But still, I double-check those mirrors when I approach any corner, and I still jump at any sound when I'm alone at night on the job. I hope against hope that eventually I'll get used to it. Jim, from Jeremy A.H. I worked as an IT technician at a small hospital in southwestern Pennsylvania. My shifts varied from week to week, but I found myself working the night shift more often than not, due to staffing. At the time, our crew had a few openings, so only one technician worked the overnight shift. This didn't really matter that much, as work slowed to a crawl after the bulk of nursing staff left at 8. I grew accustomed to the boring mediocrity of the work, preparing for the morning shift and rounding the dark halls of the hospital wings. Most nights, I would only see a few dimly lit computer screens, sitting in front of even more dimly lit faces of personnel, waiting for their shifts to end. Occasionally, I found myself running into the lone night security guard, who patrolled the same areas. The requirements of the shift's round were simple enough. Check all the computers and ensure staff had no issues. But there was one task in particular that wasn't so simple. An end-of-night task given to ensure the equipment in the upstairs storage area was restocked. Each night shift technician would be required to go to the basement storage, located in the old side of the hospital. The old building stood in stark contrast to the new renovations, with rebuilt flooring and rooms in each of the updated hospital wings. The halls, already poorly lit due to the energy-saving standards and patient requests at night, seemed to grow longer and darker as the flooring changed from the new wood floors to the cold, hard tiles used in the past. They reminded me of mental institutions in movies, the white speckled pattern only stopping due to cracks and some broken pieces signifying some bygone era of medicine that brought intrusive thoughts of lobotomies and botched procedures. The smell also changed drastically. The clean halls with barely a speck of dust on the handrail shifted to a musky smell that can only be defined as old. After fully engulfing yourself in the old building, it seemed a completely different atmosphere. The cleanliness and brightly painted corridors gave way to gray washed-out monotone that pulled the surrounding color out like an evil sponge. Now, the walk to the old hospital was the easy part, as the only way to the storage area was a single elevator that seemed to be the progenitor of all elevators. Like this was the test build, and all other elevators existed only due to this one's sacrifice. Its doors only open slowly after the worn popped-out button is pressed. It only has access to a few floors, the basement storage, the boiler rooms, and where I stood, the laundry room. That night, I pressed the button, its familiar click followed by a shuddering and grind that made me think the elevator finally died, and I had witnessed its death throes. The doors creak open and reveal a broken floor, cracked and repaired more times than seemed possible, and a new smell, one of old oil and thinning elevator cables. I stepped in, and my weight noticeably shifted the elevator down, causing it to not sit even with the floor. This has happened to me hundreds of times, but each is still as jarring as the last. I pressed the basement button, waiting for the doors to close. The ride was to be expected, bumpy and terrifying, each tug on the antiquated cable seemingly their last, as I slowly descended into the old basement. A burning kind of smell, like that of an engine with no oil, filled the air. According to the maintenance crew, this was normal. I held my breath, taking comfort in only falling a single floor from the boiler room if it happened. The doors shuttered, slowly opened, revealing a large room filled with all manner and sizes of boxes. A metal receiving door sat unused, taking up most of the left wall. My steps felt somehow more difficult on the concrete floor, as if something was weighing me down as I walked past the storage room door. I made my way over, ignoring the surroundings, lost in my list of required items. I fumbled for my keycard, which hung around my neck with my name and picture that updates the computer system when I access a door. My keycard was the size of an average credit card, sometimes unwieldy around my neck, but at least it was impossible to lose. I swiped and waited for the green light, and the beep that accompanied the door unlocking. I pulled at the metal handle, a little more forceful than most doors, as it always seemed wedged closed. The heavy metal door gave way to a much larger room filled with shelves that kept our equipment organized. I began to verify the items on the list, loading up a cart so the morning crew would have their necessary items for the day. Each printer, every keyboard, and small component placed on the large cart echoed in the room. I had just moved a particularly heavy item, a large printer on the bottom of the cart, when a noise sounded, one that I didn't expect. The beep of the door being unlocked, accompanied by the click the lock makes when it's released. I stared at the door, letting my imagination get the better of me. There should be no one with access to that room in the hospital, and I'd seen way too many horror movies to not immediately think about another exit, but the storage area only had one. I lowered myself behind the cart, focusing on the door, watching and patiently waiting. Nothing. The lock slid back into place, and the door's lights went red. I thought to myself it could be a glitch or some malfunction, and I made a note to message the security guys in the morning to check. They can easily see who accessed a door from the keycard they have. It logs the name and employee number of the person who swiped. I finished loading the materials needed, then headed toward the door at the other end of the room. I opened the heavy metal door and closed it behind me, ensuring it was locked. My first step toward the elevator was interrupted by a sound coming from deeper in the basement. We had no need to go that far in, as all that was back that way were old ramps and walkways that led nowhere now due to renovations. They were locked and could be used as an exit in case of a fire. I stopped and listened intently, trying to stifle my breathing long enough to hear. I heard a faint tapping, like a knock of someone who really isn't that interested in getting the attention of anyone in particular. This accompanied by the distant sound of footsteps. In any other part of the building, I normally wouldn't think anything of it. But no one came down here, ever. Even the maintenance workers had no reason, as all the pipes were moved to facilitate the new building. I considered calling out, but those scary movies crept up in the back of my mind, and I decided to head upstairs to check with the security team. The cameras would be able to see better than I could in any case. I walked quickly to the elevator, almost sprinting at the final few steps, and I waited for the doors to open. The terrifying mode of transportation seemed almost comforting as I jumped into its dilapidated confines. I knew pressing the button over and over would not make the doors close any faster or the elevator spring to life more quickly, but it didn't stop my shaking hand from repeatedly slamming the antiquated letter. The doors finally closed, but not before I noticed a figure hunched over, staring at me from the shadows. The gargoyle-like posture lent something otherworldly to their presence. I watched the room shrink to nothing, searing the sight of that thing in the darkness into my memory as the elevator moved away from that floor. I waited, breathing heavily, at the wooden panel doors. I kept pressing L to try and will the lift to get to laundry even a moment faster. My phone didn't work in the elevator, and even if I were outside, I had terrible reception in the old building. I moved slowly up, seeing the light leave the B2 button and bounce to B1. The old boiler room. An unexpected jolt stopped the elevator with the B1 button blinking slowly. I had not pressed B1. I was sure of it. It was impossible as I was so focused on the panel there would be no way I could have made that mistake. Much to my dismay, however, those doors slid open with a loud metallic grind. The boiler room floor was still part of the basement and could be reached via the corridors. So I felt every inch of the slow crawl the doors made to their open position. Then I stared into the darkness of the old boiler room, slamming the paint off the laundry room button. I watched every silhouette in that room, the only light source pushing back against the darkness being the elevator I was in. My imagination ran wild, filling my thoughts with serial killers and dark beings only found on the pages of novels and in film. The doors never seemed to close so slowly before, grating the rusted metal and causing my anxiety to grow with every inch. The doors began to close, but somehow the darkness itself began to seep in. It overtook my small light, first at each side, then invading the ceiling. I could only watch in horror as the shadows seemed to come for me. Finally, the doors closed. My savior, an elevator built while my grandfather was still in diapers. I sighed and took a few steps back as the light bounced from B1 to L, signifying that my journey into the abyss was nearly over. Eventually, the doors opened to the well-lit laundry room full of machines working dutifully on bedsheets and articles of clothing. Though it was something I saw almost every day, I was swept over with relief. Quickly, I walked out of the elevator and turned toward the new building. As I walked, I thought perhaps what I saw had been a trick of my mind, a simple shadow brought to life by too many movies and novels. After dropping the equipment back into the department, I waited for my shift to end, checking for issues and ensuring everything was set up for the next day. A few minutes prior to my shift ending, an alert was sent over the intercom. Code open, bellowed across my department. I had never heard that code before, so I checked the employee guide on our nearest computer. I skimmed the listing down the page until I got to the code open. It read, "Overly aggressive or violent patient. Contact the security team immediately." I spun my chair toward the phone and picked up the receiver. I knew the night security guard pretty well, as we'd pass in the hallways sometimes, making small talk every now and then. I dialed the number and waited for the click at the other end. When he answered, it wasn't his normal spiel, saying his name and department, but an almost panicked,
"Hello?"
I asked if he knew what was going on and why the alert had been called. He told me a patient had escaped unnoticed from the emergency room a few hours earlier. A special guard had been called in and assigned to him, but he had attacked the guard, severely injuring him and taking all his gear. They called in the police because now he had a taser, pepper spray, and various other items. My thoughts shifted to who it might be. I knew the day shift guys. And as if he was reading my mind, he said it was Jim, as he was the only one who answered his phone that night. Jim was a tough guy, ex-army, but getting up in age. Maybe that's why he had difficulty handling that patient. Apparently, poor Jim had been injured and knocked out, forced into the bed, and strapped down with a blanket over him. He was there for hours. If the nurse in the morning didn't notice a missing guard in the corner of the room, it may have been quite some time until they actually found him. He explained the missing man was an animal, but came in semi-sedated. He had self-medicated to the point of delirium, and the police were supposed to pick him up, but were called away due to some pileup on a freeway.
"Hey, no worries. He's probably long gone by now,"
the shaky voice said on the other end of the receiver, seemingly trying to reassure himself more than me. I was about to let him go when I remembered my note. "Hey, can you tell me who accessed the door on B2 a little bit ago? It clicked open, but no one came in." I folded the note and threw it in the garbage. His anxious voice cracked.
"I need to go now."
The panic rose in his voice as he spoke.
"Says here, it was Jim."
Tales from the Break Room is a viewer-submitted podcast featuring allegedly true scary stories that happened on the way to, on the way from, or at work. If you want your story to be narrated on the show, send it to us at eeriecast.com/submit. As of April 14th, we're paying 3 cents per word for stories that are approved and make it onto the show. Submission does not guarantee approval or payment. For a limited time only, PayPal only. Tales from the Break Room is an Eeriecast Network original podcast hosted by Darkness Prevails. You can follow him on Twitter at Dark Prevails, and you can hear thousands more stories read by him on our other show, Unexplained Encounters. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow and rate Tales from the Break Room on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also enjoy plenty more horror-themed podcasts at eeriecast.com.